The Old Testament lesson today is from the book of Nehemiah, a smattering of scripture. You can follow along on page 436 in your pew Bible. And for those of you who may be new, this morning we are going through a academic year-long look of the Bible. We call the story. So this is, we're getting close to the end of the Old Testament. I'm sorry, almost to the New Testament. Listen now from Nehemiah chapter 8. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We live not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As I said, we're coming to a close of the Old Testament portion of the story, and it is interesting that today, as we mark the first Sunday of Lent, a season of 40 days, excluding Sundays, as our children reminded us, we have this opportunity to hear about a return to worship, a people who have been in exile, people who have been in the wilderness, much like those who came before John, except their wilderness was Babylon. They're trying to rediscover through self-examination how to be the people of God again. We live in this tension on Sundays of that yearning to know who God is, that sin that still is in the world, and also the forgiveness we know. We're an Easter people. But to err on the side of just focusing on the fact that we are freed and forgiven without the realization of our sin does not help us remember the depth of our need for God. And so today we look at Lent as this kind of covenant renewal, which is what is happening in Nehemiah. It's a renewal of our covenant with God, our commitment to God and God's ways, and to one another. The people in Nehemiah hear the word of God, and to them it is like it overwhelms their senses, and they can't imagine what to do except to genuflect. They just throw themselves down the ground, and they begin probably a weeping and a hollering. You can almost hear him say, Oh, we've been such wretched sinners. Oh, God, forgive us. Oh, God, have mercy. I have been in worship environments much like that, and there's almost an expectation that if you don't do that, something's wrong with you. You're not truly being moved by the Spirit. If you ain't weeping and moaning, you ain't right with the Lord. Well, this could have been what was happening. I think it probably was. There may have some people really grieving. But we aren't, interesting thing, we aren't told why they're weeping. Some of them may have just been crying out of relief. And finally, we have some sense about how to live our lives. We're overjoyed that this is true. Some of them may have been weeping because they just couldn't understand what this law of Moses, the Ten Commandments and all the things that came after, they were so far removed from that in their experience in Babylon that they'd forgotten and they didn't know what to do. It was like a foreign language. But Nehemiah, Ezra, and the priests and scribe, well, whatever crying and moaning and weeping and what's going on, they finally say, stop it. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. What? Isn't that the purpose of Lent? To get us on our knees or our weeping and, you know, submitting our lives to God again with contrition, heart-wrenched contrition. Well, it can be, yes. But we also remember that it does no good if we stay on our knees. It's about getting up. Too much play makes us self-indulgent, self-centered. Too much looking beyond enjoyment makes us dour. Unfortunately, though, when it comes about everything in our life as a people, we are of tend toward extremes. We don't know how to live in the middle, where that tension is. There's a great movie called Babette's Feast. Many of you may have seen it. It takes place in 19th century Denmark. The title character is a culinary artist. She wins the lottery and has a chance to return to home to her beloved France. But instead of going home, she uses the money to prepare a feast to commemorate the 100-year memory of a now-dead founding pastor. What could be looked at as an extravagance bordering on sin, Babette knows that this food and this drink relish in the goodness of God. They're the best witness to God's grace. Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors. He relished in the feast for those who needed him the most. And so he begins his ministry in the solo trek through the desert. He did not turn stone into bread because he didn't reject the goodness of bread. Instead, he rejected the one who told him to do it, because it would have been a sin to feast only for himself. Disciples are those who follow after the disciplines that God provides for us. But these disciplines are not intended to leave us withered and grumpy and despondent. Your Lenten fast may already have you at that place. They're not designed to make us spiritually limp. Lent helps us to focus instead on who the giver of all good things is, the one who makes us joyful. Or so memorably stated in this text, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy, the perfect pleasure in the righteousness of God. Go your way, they say. Eat the fat, drink sweet wine, send portions of those who have nothing prepared. The disciplines of Lent are intended to lead us carefully and prayerfully and yet joyfully into a deeper relationship with God and each other. Eat, drink, be merry, and help others to do so as well. For if we truly give thanks for the life God has given us in Jesus Christ, who denied himself so that we could live into his abundance, who declared himself the bread of life, then we must enjoy and share and relish in him. Today, as we celebrate, that's right, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we participate in this tension of life and death, of sorrow and joy, of sin and forgiveness. And we find in this supper its ultimate resolution in that heavenly banquet, the foreshadow of that heavenly banquet where the risen Lord will feast with us. After this time, when we are sharing of celebration of this, we take a portion of this feast to those of our members who cannot be here because they are disabled and homebound. Because we want to remind them that the abundant life is still theirs in Jesus Christ. Friends, this is the day. This is the feast. This is the life that God has made. So let us eat, let us drink, and let us be merry. Amen.